Tonight, we have Daniel to speak on the third part of the fourth step, the sex part. Dan?
Am I unmuted, John?
Yep.
Hi, guys. My name is Daniel. I'm Dan. I'm a recovered, uncured alcoholic. My sobriety days from booze and narcotics is February 27, 1976. In my recovery, hope of mentally, physically, and spiritually, because of finding the men's big book step study meeting in Hyannis, was in doing a fourth and fifth step. And the rest of them was April of 1987. It's good to see my sponsor Donnie there, so I'm going to have to be honest. I'm just going to try to share my experience. I thought I was speaking on step five, but it really doesn't matter because I'm not going to talk about my opinion. I'm going to try not to anyway, but just share my experience with this part of the fourth step. Just a brief thing, a little bit about, I thought like when I first started going to Alcoholics Anonymous, not when I first started, but for a long time Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, they talked about doing a fourth and fifth step. No one was telling me how to do it, but they one of the things that they stressed was that you had to share, the stuff that you would go to the grave with. If you didn't share that with somebody else. They didn't say God, yourself, and somebody else. They said if you wouldn't share that with somebody else, then there was a good chance that you would drink again. And I had some stuff. I remember being around. I was around 6 months sober, and I got some sexual stuff from being a kid when I was a kid with abuse and stuff like that. And I remember going to my sponsor and saying, I think I've gone like. I got some stuff that's bothering me. I got some stuff that periodically it comes up and it just eats me up. And when it did before, I would use, and I said, so I think I'm going to have to go to a psychiatrist and because it doesn't go away. This happened a long time ago and it continues to come back. And he said, wait a minute. And we were on our way to a commitment, and him and another guy, they started telling me stuff. I couldn't freaking believe what they were telling me. I was like, and I told them, I said what it was. It was a sexual abuse thing. God, I can remember it. I was in the car, and I was shaking. I was shaking worse than when I got sober. And my voice was even breaking, like it was hard to breathe. But I told somebody. I told somebody the thing that I was going to go to the grave with. So for a long time in Alcoholics Anonymous, almost 11 years, I thought I did this. I thought I did like a fourth and fifth step. But that was that's what I thought a fifth step was, like, the stuff that I wouldn't tell anybody else. Anyways, I don't want to get into the other parts of the steps. So for a long time around here, I was just like, hanging on by the seat of my pants. Fortunately, I didn't drink. I didn't drink for when I found this meeting, I was 11 years away from a drinking narcotic. The problem was I wanted to take my life. I wanted to die. That was, and there was nowhere else to go. I was absolutely screwed. They used to say this was like the last house in the street for somebody like me. And it certainly was. There wasn't anywhere else to go. The only thing that ever changed in my life was phone numbers and addresses. I fortunately found a meeting in Hyannis, Massachusetts. One Sunday morning, I heard some guys talking about a solution, a very specific way of doing this, a blueprint for living. And it was in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I remember one guy getting up lucky and, Jesus Christ, he was sober like 3 years. He sounded like he's been around about 50 years. He was talking about solutions and recovery. And I remember elbowing the guy beside me. Anyways, I went to the meeting, I asked the guy, Donnie, he's here tonight to be my sponsor. He said I'd be on it. I remember him saying that. And he guided me through this fourth step, okay? It was the most important thing I've ever done in my life. It sucked the truth out of me. You know, like my friend Warren said, it was like, I found out that the detective was the criminal. It was me. The problem was between my ears. You know, I wasn't a victim of circumstances, you know. I mean, just standing there minding my own business and I got screwed again, you know. I'll never learn. And I saw, you know, one of the hooks here that talked about, you know, searching up the flaws in my makeup that were causing my failure, and I was a failure, you know. Anyway, I did the resentment part of the fourth step, and I remember being really jazzed when I finished, because it was the first time that I can remember starting something and actually finishing it. I didn't finish the whole fourth step at that point, but I started something, and I followed through, and I did exactly what I was told. And then the fear part just rocked me. I saw that part, you know, I know I'm supposed to talk about this step, but I thought this would be easy. You know what I mean? I thought, like, when I got to this was going to be like breaking sticks, because I had already shared the thing that was, you know, that I thought was the big deal. You know what I mean? I mean, sex wasn't a big deal in my life. Like, I remember being at meetings hearing guys, I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, I don't have that many names, to tell you the truth. You know what I mean? It was like, I was too busy getting high, and it wasn't that I was such a spiritual guy, but narcotics and alcohol were more important to me than getting laid, you know. Don't get me wrong, it was part of it, but it wasn't, actually I found out, you know, really what was wrong, you know, how I used sex, but I didn't know that at the time. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. I finished the fear part, and it rocked me. It rocked me. I found out, like, even at that point, I remember writing out, I wrote out exactly, relying on myself, what happened in my life. And all of a sudden, I started to see why this relationship didn't work out, and that job didn't work out, and this, you know. And how would it have been better if I relied on God? I felt like, crap, like this is, it was the opposite of what I was doing. It's not rocket science, you know what I mean? Or it was either the opposite of what I was doing or not to do anything at all. I just shut up, you know, basically. But anyway, so we get to this part of the fourth step. I meet my sponsor. I don't remember where we were because, you know, he said, well, you know, do the names, you know, or whatever, and I did that. And like I said, there really wasn't that many names, and I tell you the truth, I mean, what's the big deal? I didn't see what the big deal about, you know, like the sexual partners that were on there. It wasn't like I was fucking raping people and doing this and doing that. Not that there's anything wrong with that, if that's what you're doing, that's what you meant, though. But I went back, and he said, okay, I was sitting in his car or my truck, I don't remember what we were sitting in, but he said, and then he turned, you know, he said, well, now I want you to, you know, look at this from a different way, he had me talk. He was talking about. He wanted me to write down on each situation. You know, where I was selfish, dishonest, and considerate. Whom did I hurt, and whether I unjustifiably aroused jealousy, suspicion, and bitterness. And I was like, what? You know, like I don't get it. And he explained it to me again, and he And I know today that, you know, he did a really good job explaining to me, but I didn't know what the hell he was talking about. I really didn't. I didn't have a fucking clue. But I still had nowhere else to go. I remember going home and trying to do that. And also, I mean, there wasn't a lot of big book step study meetings at the time. Actually, there was this one, and there wasn't another one. And there was the one in Hyannis, I mean, I'm sorry. And so, but I would go there, and when they would get to this part of the step, I would hear guys share about it, and it started to make a little bit more sense. You know, I started to see, and my sponsor helped me out with that. What I realized was, and I think Greg used to talk about it, like he used to, you know, he'd get in a relationship and it was like a bottle, he'd take off he'd unscrew their heads and drink them and get rid of them, you know. And I started to see that that's what I was doing. That it was more than about the sex. It was more, you know, how I just used people, how I just, to make me feel better, you know, to make me, make me feel like, and this is the stuff I didn't want anybody to know. It wasn't as much of fucking sex. That didn't bother me so much, but that I needed you to just care about me and know exactly what I needed every second of the day. You know, I mean, if I was feeling like, I remember one time I was feeling like really insecure, like in this one relationship. And I remember there's my girl coming in the studio and I had a picture of this other girl that I was seeing. And she says, "Who's that?" "Oh shit, oh that's nothing. That's no big deal. Don't worry about that." You know, she was really bothered by it. And the only reason I did that was to make myself feel better, basically. I was in relationships, you know, who did I hurt? I hurt their parents. I hurt their brothers and sisters. I hurt their kids. Some of them had kids. What else, you know, I can go on. I don't know what else I can say about this. That's pretty much my experience with this. I did exactly what he told me to do. And to be honest with you, by sticking around and trying to practice the principle of this program, I found more about myself by doing that. Even with the ideals letter, he said write an ideals letter. And I remember writing this letter. It didn't mean anything to me. It meant nothing. I'd be lying to you. And I could say I was all these things. I wrote it like, you know, I wanted, because I was going to read it to my sponsor. So I wanted them to think that I was like this really good guy. I mean, even after doing this work, for Christ's sakes, and then I thought I did it wrong. And by the way, I was in this relationship with this woman. Like, I had turned my life well over to Karen Nancy in while I was doing my writing. And when I finished this part of the fourth step, I practically wrote another sex inventory on that one relationship. In fact, even after doing the fourth and fifth step, I was a train wreck. And I wrote this written tenth, you can call it whatever you want. It was friggin' almost as long as my fourth step. And then I remember meeting my sponsor, I was gonna give up. It's like, shit, this is not gonna work for me. I listen to these guys and this, I'm not the same, there's something wrong. I've never felt like, I've always felt like I've one step out of step, like I'm born without insulation. Everyone else seems to have the deal and it just wasn't working with me. You know, but I wrote it out and I wrote it I met at the college and I read it and I was rocketed after that. Things just changed for me then. What's my sex life today? I'm 77 years old. What's my sex life today? My relationship, let's talk about that, is beyond anything I could have written, if it was possible for me to write an honest ideals letter when I was done, I would have undershot what my relationship is like today. I just wasn't capable of it when I got done with this. I remember going to my sponsor afterwards like that. I mean, even speaking at this meeting, I got mad respect for this meeting. This meeting has absolutely changed my life. And I was really uncomfortable the first time I talked at this meeting. And I still am. Not because I haven't done the work, but because when I first did, I thought I didn't do it right. Everyone else, again, even after doing this work, you know, and maybe that's the way it had to be for me. You know, I remember Donnie saying, don't measure yourself by anyone else's yardstick. You know, it did. At least in my case, it was almost like going to a trauma unit. You know, because I come in here and I was so screwed up. It was like getting in a really bad accident, he said, it's like, you know, you're going to a trauma unit, you've got a punctured lung and a broken wrist and a lacerated in head. They're going to say, DeLong, let's do that first. Let's take care of that. And then we'll go back and we'll set that wrist and we'll do the stitch of the head up. And that's the way it was for me with this. That's the way it was for me. So I know a lot more about this than I did. I would hope so. I freaking did this 33 years ago. For Christ's sakes, I should know more about it. What are my relationships like today? They're off the charts. They're just different. I used to think one way and do things one way, and I do things differently now. Like this book starts when I made my covenant with God, with my sponsor. You know, he said someday you'll be doing this with somebody else. You know, it's like, you know, it wasn't that I thought of myself or I thought well of myself. It's that I thought only of myself, and I thought only of myself for the broken brain. You know, it was like, like Bobby says, I am my character, and my character was really screwed. And it's not today. You know, my life's not unmanageable today, a day at a time. Whether it's with fears, whether it's with resentments, or whether it's with sex, it's just different. It's just different. And it continues to get better. There's no finish line here for me. It's almost like I was talking to my friend Greg today. It's almost like being reincarnated without dying. Every year, it's like no. And I want to keep my AA note. Coming back to this meeting and seeing my friends that changed my life, absolutely transformed my life in every way. I mean, if I could, you know, I mean, this is about the sixth part of the fourth. But if I could tell you exactly where I had and what I had to offer when I first got here, it's absolutely nothing. You know, and if you ask me, well, what do you want today? I mean nothing. You know, other than this is great. I love you guys, man. You guys have changed my life. And just to be able to see you and touch base with you, you don't want to miss this. It's nuts anyway. It's crazy. I did this, I see my friend Bobby there. It's almost like I didn't graduate high school. For Christ's sakes, I was living in the streets after. I lived in the, went to seventh grade, I think. I went from the seventh grade to the streets. So I never graduated high school. But I see Bobby here. You know, I did my fifth step the same week Bobby did his. It's almost like somebody I graduated with. So, and we're still here. God bless you, Bobby. Thank you, guys. I love you guys. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Daniel. Thank you. Thank you very much, Dan. That's great. Mm-hmm. All right.